throughout Michigan. I believe, correct me if I was wrong, nearly 100 or close to 100 or 108 children got the Holy Ghost from one side of Michigan to the other. He and his wife, my aunt, Sister Hainer, pastor a fabulous church, along with the help of their boys in South Haven, Michigan, been there for a lot of years, taking it to the next level, and I believe now it's going to the next level. And I could think of nobody better to come and preach our two-year anniversary service than Pastor Philip Hainer. Can we give God a hand clap of praise as he comes?
Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise in the house of the Lord. He alone is worthy. Why don't you close your eyes and clap to the Lord with everything that's within you? Worthy is the Lamb of God. Worthy is the Lamb of God. Holy is the Lamb of God. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. And it is an honor to be here. I appreciated the invite. Thankful for the invite, and I am honored to be here, and it's awesome to be able to go and have my most beautiful wife with me, and that is Sister Hainer on this left, my left side. This Sister Hainer, you have to just abide by that because I have the bully pulpit right now, and I am honored to be able to say that every one of these men have preached in South Haven's pulpit. And I'm very thankful for that. And I think I've preached in all of their pulpits. We are friends, and maybe not blood, but we are family. And what an honor, definitely indeed, to have with us Sister Russell and her two awesome daughters, both pastors' wives. And how much we do miss Brother Russell every day. I have his Bible in my office at church. I have preached from his Bible. Tried to delve into his mind and thought and spirit, some things that God spoke. Amen. And I'm just honored to be here. How many want to have a little bit of church tonight? Hallelujah. Amen. Lots I'd like to say, but the hour is growing. I just want to say, do want to say that we do lend our love and support to Brother and Sister Brent and Amanda Smith. And Amanda Smith was introduced to Brent. I remember him coming down on the flight and to meet and Brother Mobley's church. I preached for him every year, and Brother Russell's the one that introduced me to Brother Mobley. We got to preach every year, and then one year Brother Brent Smith come down and met his lovely bride-to-be, and Sister Russell, you had a part in that too. Amen. So if it's working out well, you can credit us. If it's not working out so well, you go seek some prayer and counsel from an elder. Amen. Let's stand together. Turn, if you will, to the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 6. And I am definitely blessed to be with my own blood brother. Brother Hainer to you, Nathan to me, and I love him and his family. He's done a great job with his daughters as well. Amen. Hebrews 11, verse number 6. If you know it by heart, join in. If you have it in Scripture, join in. Amen. Without faith. Everybody say faith. It is impossible to please him. And in the King James Version, him is not capitalized, but in my notes tonight, all three letters of that word are capitalized. Without faith, it is impossible to please him. Who are we trying to please? Him. Amen. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. I want to preach to you tonight from this subject, what the church needs most. What the church needs most. Will you lift your hands? Let's talk to the Lord. God, that your anointing will flow rich upon us. We need your strength. We need your presence. We need your power. Oh God, have your perfect will in this place tonight. God, minister to every need. Speak a word to Winnemac, I pray tonight. In Jesus' name, we ask your anointing. Let everyone say amen. And you may be seated. Hallelujah. It's an honor to be a part of a church extension from Walkerton and the daughter work, and here you are in your second year, and see what God is doing in this beautiful city, which I laid eyes on for the very first time at your last anniversary service. Was immediately impressed by your decorations, and it's a soft touch to the eyes, and everything is awesome and everything is wonderful. And for a young man and his wife and two children to step out of the comfort zone of a thriving revivalistic church that's seen it all, had it all, and then to step into a small city and in a storefront, no less, and try to have church and try to have revival. Hey, man, it takes a person of burden, takes a person of passion, it takes a family of vision, if you will. Hey, man, but that's what the church is all about. And I'm glad for missions that we support on the foreign fields, and I'm glad for evangelistic efforts that we send all over the world. But this is really what all of that is about on the home front. Evangelism in our own backyard. Anybody glad to be a part of the church today? Hallelujah. Anybody glad to be a part of the bride of Christ? It's not Smith's church, Gene's church, Hainer's church, or anybody else's church. It is the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ's church. And let me just add right on the very beginning of this service tonight that we don't have a right to tamper to what he calls church. We get together and we do-si-do and patty cake for Jesus, and we come up with our own ideas, but ultimately it is God's church. I don't have a right to water down what God says is important. I don't have a right to put in and take out what God says is important. It's up to me to do what God has said. This is what my church will look like. You can build a church of your liking down someplace else, but here at the Winnemac Church, let's build a church like God would have us to have. Hallelujah. Amen. As Brother Smith said, I had the privilege of seeing 108 children filled with the Holy Ghost in just 6 short services in a tour in Michigan. My favorite was in Detroit, from inner city Detroit, where it was 90% were Hispanic and black. And by the time that service was over, the first time I'd seen that many in my life get the Holy Ghost at one time was 51 received the Holy Ghost in that short service. My favorite scene from that service was 4 young ladies, little girls, across the front, right in the center by the pulpit. I was praying with somebody else, but I couldn't help but get distracted every now and then by their prayer and worship effort. All of them received the Holy Ghost. The littlest one couldn't have been any more than 9 years old, and she was feeling God, talking in tongues, and every now and then she would throw herself across the platform, and then she would get back up. She was getting drunk in the Holy Ghost. That is the one night of the crusade that yours truly got drunk in the Holy Ghost too. There's nothing like seeing somebody pray through to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. There's nothing like seeing somebody get a breakthrough in God. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. 108 from those crusades. 51 total between the camps that I had the privilege of directing this year. So for me, it's been over 170 that I've watched get the Holy Ghost this summer. I feel like I'm in a Book of Acts experience. Pardon me if I'm spilling over just a little bit, but I can't help but believe that God is going to bring in a rich harvest in the last days. It's not a dead church. It's not a boring church. It's not a watered down church. But it's a church on fire. A Book of Acts church. That's what we're living in. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Amen. My home church. Every church knows what it's like to have high highs and low lows and mediocre times. Seems like those mediocre times are what takes it out of you the most, because people start praying when you're having low, low times, and people are excited when you're having a very high time. God did something for POSH this year. That's the Pentecostals of South Haven. We like our acronym. Thank you very much. God has done something special for us, bringing back backsliders into the church that have lit our church on fire with outreach. Amen. Somebody that just preached a children's revival service for us Sunday said, "Where in the world did these Winkle Blacks come from?" I said, "They were here 20 years ago. God took them from a mighty long way, and now they're lighting POSH up on fire for the church." We broke a 17-year-old attendance record last Sunday, 205 in Sunday morning services. No, we don't run that. We don't average that. We aren't even close to that. But somebody had a vision. On that Friday night, or that Saturday night, I was in a rally, a youth rally, and heard somebody give a promotion for She's for Christ, giving to the youth department. And they told in their little speech, and it wasn't my son, it was somebody that came to give that speech. They made this statement in the speech that said to the youth of the rally, "You don't have to become smothered by the four walls of your own church. There's a world out there to win." And I got mad. I got mad. Amen. Because by inference, it's almost like they mean your church isn't doing anything, and you can't have revival here in your local church. Well, we went home, and a girl that was not smothered by the four walls, but was covered by the umbrella of the anointing of the four walls, lit the place on fire and broke the attendance record. Come on, somebody. You still need the elder. You still need the umbrella. You still need the anointing. There's a whole lot that you can do under the protection of your pastor's care. Can somebody shout hallelujah? Let me tell you what a real world changer is. A real world changer is somebody that brings somebody else to their local church. A real world changer is somebody that goes and gets a donated piano, gives it to their daughter, and she learns to play the piano. And tonight she was leading on the music. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. World changer. End of last year, a very rough tumble young lady came to our church, and we have a program that we've operated in before that's ordained and promoted by the court systems. And she was in trouble with the law, and we got her with our One Church, One Offender program. And she was tough, tough as nails. She was as rough as anybody I've ever seen off the street. The way she dressed, the way she acted, her attitude. She sat through the very first service with earbuds in, listening to her music on her phone, and never once took the earbuds out of her ear. And we thought, what in the world you come to church for? And we'd had a good service that night, and the earbuds never came out. And come to find out, she's got 8 children and never been married one time. Multiples of fathers, and how she ever held on to all of those children in keeping them under one roof and managing to keep them all together through her 32 or so years, I have no idea. I read her record, and she was raised in over 30 different foster homes. A rotten experience for any child to have to suffer through. And she talks about abuse, and she talks about drugs, and she talks about alcohol and everything else that she's been to and unmentionables that I was embarrassed to even hear of some of the experiences she's been through out on the street. It's an amazing thing. And she just about quit the program a couple times, actually called me up, said, "I'm quitting." And a couple times I called her up with the intention of telling her, "We're quitting. We can't do anything with you, and you don't want to listen." But she went to ladies' retreat this year. And that ladies' retreat, God filled her with a baptism of the Holy Ghost, rocked her world, changed her mind, changed her spirit. Amen. Her life was so bad. When we had her, two of the older girls were taken away just this year, just in the last 3 to 4 months. And she was not thinking she was ever going to get them back. And then finally, one of them come back. Those children's crusades that we just did, we did one in Benton Harbor. Those two girls stood side by side in the Benton Harbor church as God miraculously filled them both with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, side by side. Oh! They didn't get just a little bit of Holy Ghost. They didn't get a little see my tie, my tie, Kawasaki, Yamaha, Suzuki type of a Holy Ghost. They got the real thing from the top of their head to the sole of their feet. We baptized them both that weekend. And since then, the two daughters, one is back permanently. One had to go back away for a week, but now we'll be back permanently. Both of them have said, "We want to wear dresses all the time. I don't understand it," they said, "but we want to be involved. What's it take to be in the choir?" And my daughter-in-law, Rebecca, looked her in the eye, and she didn't soft soap it. She said, "Well, I'm telling you right now, it's strict. It takes a lot to be in the choir." And the girl was wide-eyed and looked at her. "I don't care. I want to be in the choir. Come on. That's the real Holy Ghost." Hallelujah. Her three little boys came in, and I'm not making fun, and I hope you're not offended by this, but for the longest time, it took me a while, and I'm talking little bitty guys. It took me a while to figure out that the one was not a girl, but was a boy. Hey, but their hair was bushed everywhere and just hanging down and straggly coming into the house of the Lord. But slowly, they began to assimilate into the church. And assimilation is a very powerful tool that a church has. One of the greatest holiness messages that our churches will ever have is the assimilation of what they see that is around them, and they say, "I want to be a part of this. I may not understand it, but I like it, and I want to be a part of it." Well, those boys had to feel like misfits. I can remember last year hearing my grandson say something because they don't know no better. A so-and-so in the school's making fun of little Darius, and he, you know, he started chuckle under his breath a little bit, and I said, "Just remember something. They may make fun of Darius, but don't you ever make fun of Darius. He's had a rough life, and he needs somebody to show him some love." Well, Caleb got close to the boys, the three little boys, and then on one Saturday afternoon, they came over to his house, and a guy that he works with that has the ability to cut their kind of hair came over, and for $20, he cut three little boys' hair. And his mama, when she got the pictures, she forwarded them to me and says, "I can't believe these are my handsome little men." I looked at their picture and I thought, "I can't believe these are the same little guys." I'm trying to tell you something. You don't have to go to City Hall and think you're going to win the mayor. You might want to get into the streets and the highways and the hedges and find little Dariuses. Find little Carmelos. Find little Muffianas. Find little Tuanas. Find little Melissas, because they're hungry and they're dying from addictions and they need somebody. Somebody shout hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Maybe seated. That can happen for Winnemac. Like I said, it hadn't always been up here. Thank God it hadn't always been down here. There's been this area too. Amen. But I thank God for every revival that comes our way. Amen. We talk about the first church. Let me just give you a little testimony about the first church. And I'm thankful for the book of Acts church. But that was a new dispensation. The first church, amen, was the church that God took out of Egypt land. Brought them across the Red Sea. Took Moses up into the mountain. And inscribed upon some stones, some commandments that were to be taken and were to be lived. That's found in Exodus chapter 20. In Deuteronomy chapter 5, you can find a recitation of what Exodus chapter 20 says. Moses is preaching to them to what had happened, how God brought him up into the mountain, handed him the thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not bear false witness. Amen. Have no graven images before me. Remember this. He's the one that gave that. And Moses begins to tell him about that. And then he looks him in the eye and said, that's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to live that moral law. We're supposed to be that way. Amen. And he gets into Deuteronomy chapter 6 after telling mom and dad, this is the church and this is how you're supposed to live it. He gave them the first commandment. After that, when he got to verse number 4, and he said, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you're to worship him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. That is still the dogma of the church. There's not 10 gods, a God, amen. There is the God. He is the one and only God. There is only one name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Amen. He is our God. He is our Father. He's in us, through us, above us. He's everything we live, everything we praise. The reason why we're here. The reason why we'll have church next year this time. Amen. When he got through with that, he gave them their purpose. Their purpose was children. Their purpose was, you're to teach it to your children when they wake up in the morning, as they go by the way, as they lay down at bed at night, everywhere they go, moms and dads, you're to live it in front of them. Example it before them. Show it to them. Share it with them. Talk about it with them. In the morning, at noon, at evening time. You should have it at your doorpost, at your gatepost. Amen. And wear it as frontlets between your eyes. Frontlets was literally a band that went around the head, and there was a bubble that hung right here between the eyes. So the first thing that they saw everywhere they went spoke to them the message that is still true today. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. I don't see my neighbor's trouble. I see there's one God. I don't see my neighbor's problems. I see there's one God. I'm not going to talk about my brother and sister in the Lord. All I can see is not their faults. I see there's one God. And before I crucify them, I got to lift my hands to a holy God and give him worship with everything that is in my heart. Amen. He told them to wear it as phylacteries on their arms. A phylactery literally was an armband that they had, and on that armband was the same thing that was written everywhere. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Amen. I walked by a place where a football team was practicing just a couple of weeks ago, and I saw the team out there practicing, and I wondered, what are they doing? They had something on their arm. I didn't know what they had on their arm. So I stood by the fence and stared through the fence to see what in the world they were wearing on their arm. And then it dawned on me. They were wearing the playbook upon their arm. Amen. X's and O's and whatever all of it means, and I don't know. But there it is. And before the quarterback would say hike and snap the ball, and everybody rushed forward, while they were going up to the line, they would look at their sleeve. And oh, this is that play. I get the ball this time.
I pass it this time. I run this time. I block left this time. Whatever it is, you know what the children of God need? They need the playbook on their arm. Oh, it's still Hero Israel. The Lord our God is one. It hasn't changed this century. It's not going to change tomorrow. It's still the same playbook. Let's keep running that. That's the only saving name. Hallelujah. The church is the ecclesia. The church is the called out. We are in the world, but not of the world. We are the light to the world. We are the salt of the earth. We are the mother of us all. That's the church. We are the bride of Christ, the apple of God's eyes, the body of Christ. The church is the horror of hell, Satan's greatest nightmare. I'm trying to get to the point of what the most important thing about the church is. We're going to get there tonight. If you'll just bear with me just a little bit. Amen. I'm glad today that hell still trembles at the name of Jesus. And they still understand there's one God, Sister Jeans. And they tremble at that one God. We are the church of the name. We don't believe in any other God but one. We understand that He was the Father in creation. Amen. And the Son in redemption. And the Holy Ghost in our heart in the world today. And we understand that if you're looking for the Father, you'll find Him in the Son. And if you're looking for the Holy Ghost, don't you know these three are one? He is one God, inseparably one God. There's one throne in heaven, and the one sitting on the throne, His name is Jesus. Can somebody shout hallelujah? So when Satan trembles at His name, he's got to tremble at the church of the name. Let me tell you my favorite testimony from Sunday morning. There's a non-denominational church that was started in South Haven that is going great guns, so they say. And they're stealing people from this denominational church and that denominational church and trying to get them from everybody else's church while they call themselves non-denominational church. Let me give you my definition of what non-denominational means. It means I don't know what I believe and I don't care what you believe. That's what non-denominational means, and I don't think they could dispute that fact right there. Amen. But my favorite testimony came from a young lady that stood about this tall, and I run her bus route to her school, and I pick her kids up from school, and it was on my heart, how am I going to reach these kids when I'm bound by a school contract and I can't say, here's my church card, why don't you come to church? And then they had this back to school blast, and it dawned on me, the outreach team says, do you know any place where there's a bunch of kids? I said, you follow me. I can't go out there, but I can point to where they're at. Sunday, that whole neighborhood was there. Hallelujah. It lit my fire. It was amazing to see the kids come up the steps and off the street, come around the corner, and there I stood, and they felt like they were on trouble in the bus again, and they had this mischievous grin, and I said, it's me. Amen. And there they were in my church. And I talked to the mother and I said, our goal is not to have a one-time splash in the pan that you enjoy for one Sunday. Our purpose was so that you'd come in our church doors, see what we can do, feel our love, and want to come back again on some other Sunday. Here's my favorite testimony. She didn't flinch. She looked me right in the eye. She says, well, we've been going to LifeBridge. And my heart fell. And she took a breath. But then she lifted my heart back up when she says, but they don't do nothing like this. We'll consider coming back. Come on, somebody. You need to have a church on fire. Don't be ashamed of what you got. Whatever your hands find to do, do it with all your might and praise unto God. Somebody shout hallelujah. How many believe it can happen for Winnemac? Clap your hands to the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Let me tell you the business of the church. It's to seek and to save that which is lost. I received the highest compliment of my ministry from two very important intelligent educators from our church. One is the Covert Public High School superintendent, Sister Bobby Moorhead, and the other teaches in her school, and that is Sister Baker. And we were at camp meeting to hear Brother Doug Kleindienst and some of the other amazing preachers. Sister Moorhead just came off of the platform from doing a graduation for Purpose Institute, and she walked off the platform. There I was, tears in her eyes. And she says, "Brother Hayner, you're such a compassionate pastor, such a caring pastor." She didn't say, "You preach real good, you're all cool and suave and all of that." She said, "You're a compassionate, passionate pastor that cares for the lost." Before that service was over, Sister Baker, at the end of it, after we'd had a miraculous move of God, found me. And she said to me, "Brother Hayner," amen, she says, "You are a highways and hedges preacher. You're talking about getting your sleeves dirty." And she says, "We love that. That's all I know to preach. Go get your politicians if you can get them. Go get your presidents if you can get them. But as for me, I'm roaming the streets looking for another Melissa, looking for another downcast, trodden over societal refuge that somebody says it can't happen." Melissa went back to court about 3 or 4 weeks ago, and she sat there, and while her daughter's future is in dispute, and when the judge lifted up his eyes and looked down and saw Melissa, whom her caseworker said, "We don't want you. We can't do anything with you. You're just another number." One of them said, "I got 21 parents like you that represent 100 kids. I don't have time for that." But when the judge lifted up his eyes from the desk and where he was at, he looked down at Melissa and he says, "There's something different about you. You got a glow about you." You know what Melissa did? She did what any street girl would have done. "I got the Holy Ghost." That's what she said. We need to remember, it's not by might, it's not by power, but it's by the Holy Ghost. That's where the changes come from. Hallelujah, you may be seated. Highways and hedges, that's what it's all about. That's where the work starts. It starts here. It starts now. It doesn't start on some AIM program. And I'm not against them. You need to understand, I'm for them, but not without you doing the work in your own backyard and in your own high school and at your factory on the job. Why go across the big pond and then say hello to somebody and say, "I shook somebody's hand in Jesus' name," when we walk by the destitute and dying in the McDonald's and up and down the skid rows of our street, what South Haven calls the zone, where my boys spend a lot of their time playing basketball with people that know them to be a one God apostolic child of God that don't compromise, out on the streets of the Elkenberg Park in South Haven, where some of the NBA players have come and played with them, Wilson Chandler and some of the other, they don't compromise. I'm here to tell you today, don't go across the pond and talk about Jesus if you can't talk about Jesus right here in Winnemac. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Wendy's a world changer. Caleb's a world changer. Those that did the work like that, you're world changers. And that's the business of the church. We don't need, let me tell you before I tell you what the church needs most, let me tell you what the church does not need. Amen. I might need a drummer to help me out just a little bit with a little bit of foot bass and maybe a snare, but definitely a foot bass. You'll understand it. Amen. As we get going, I tell you what the church don't need. Amen. The church don't need another Job's wife dragging her man down. The church don't need another Abigail's husband acting acting the fool. The church don't need another Balaam being bought off for filthy lucre. The church don't need another Demas forsaking the man of God when he needs him most. The church don't need another Judas Iscariot betraying the Lord and selling him, effectively setting him up for a killing. The church don't need another backstabber, liar, faker, hypocrite, here today, gone tomorrow, coward soldier. Amen. Amen. Let me tell you what the church don't need. Amen. Somebody ought to go tell that long tongue liar. Go tell that midnight rider. Tell the gambler, rambler, backslider. Tell him God Almighty's gonna cut him down. Now, I've had my head wet with the morning dew. I've been down on my bended knee talking to the man from Galilee. My God spoke. He spoke so sweet. I thought I heard the shuffle of angels' feet. He put one hand upon my head. Great God Almighty, let me tell you what he said. He said, you may run on for a long time, but great God Almighty gonna cut you down. You might throw a rock and hide your hand, working in the dark against your fellow man, but sure as God has made the day and the night, what you do in the dark will be brought to the light. You may run and hide, slip and slide, try to take the mote from your neighbor's eye, but sure as God made the virgin and pope, while you reap, my brother, is what you sow. You may run on for a long time. Some people go to church just to signify, try to make a date with the neighbor's wife. But neighbor, let me tell you, just as sure as you're born, you better leave that woman alone. Well, you better leave her alone. Now, one of these days, you just mark my words, you'll think your brothers are gone to work. Yeah, you wake up and a knock will be on your door. That's all, brother. You'll knock no more. Go tell that long tongue liar. Go tell that midnight rider. Tell him the rambler, gambler, backbiter. Tell him God Almighty gonna cut him down. Don't you worry so much about the backslider. Don't you worry so much about the backstabber. You worry about giving God praise. You let God take the vengeance where the vengeance needs to be taken. You let God uphold you where you feel like nothing will uphold you. Aren't you glad underneath are the everlasting arms, and he never gets tired. He keeps on holding us up. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Let me tell you what we need. Let me tell you what we need. We need another steadfast, unmovable, always abounding person of God. We need another come hell or high water child of God. We need another Isaiah, here am I, Lord, send me. We need another David, don't let my gray head go to the grave until I've showed this generation your power to come. I looked around this building today and I realized before Brother Jeans walked in, I'm pretty close to being the oldest in the building anymore. I used to be the young pup. I used to be the young man like Caleb. Amen. And I was always there amongst them all. But somehow 30, 35 years have gone by. It's been a long time since Earl Street. And I look around and I realize I'm one of the old coots in the house. And I feel like an old coot when I got up in my house yesterday morning and my lower back went out. And I did my best to struggle around. And my youngest son said, come on, Dad, let's play a little golf. And I'm thinking of all times to try to be competitive. My lower back's my... But you know what? It wasn't about being competitive. I went out and spent the fellowship with my youngest son because I don't want some long-tongued liar to come on in and steal what I've invested so much time into. Amen. Brother Gene said it best. Your family matters the most. Amen. I want to tell you, amen, if I gained the whole world and lose my own family, what has it profited me? Hallelujah. 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 We need another steadfast person hanging on with everything that they got. We need another Jacob not letting go until you bless me. We need another Caleb. I am this day as strong as I was then. Give me this mountain, 80-year-old man. Give me this mountain. We need another Samuel. Here am I. Speak, Lord, for your servant heareth. We need another Jeremiah weeping for the church, crying out, I've tried to hush. I've tried to shut it down, but it's just like fire shut up in my bones. I was having one of those dry Mondays just this last week. I finished a very long day of homework for a college class I'm taking. I finally finished it up, closed my books. My mind was on God, and I thought, God, I got to preach, or I get to preach in Winnemac this coming Saturday. And God, I don't have a single teary thought. I don't feel one bit of unction. I don't feel any anointing. And so I pulled my tired 51-year-old frame off of the couch potato where I was at and acting like it. And I got out on the road, decided I'm taking a walk. And while I began to walk out in the country where I live, nobody else is around, I began to pray to that one true God. And I said, God, hey man, you got to help me with some problems here at church. You got to help fix a few things because I don't have the wisdom or the knowledge. I can't flip the trigger or the switch or whatever it takes to fix it. I need your help. He did that by Wednesday night, by the way. And I said, and God, I get to preach in Winnemac Saturday, and I don't want just another word of God. I want a specific word of God for Winnemac. And the longer I walked and I felt God, the tears began to come. I was walking down the country streets talking in tongues out loud. The only one heard me coming was the dogs, and they began to chime in. I don't know if they were talking in tongues or not. It didn't matter to me, but I was feeling God talking in tongues, feeling his presence. You can bite me, dog, if you want to, but amen, there's nothing that's no harm going to come to me. Amen, it's going to be okay. God began to talk to me about Winnemac. Wednesday morning came, and I was worried about those problems that I had been praying to the Lord about. And I began to pray again. God, I don't feel anything for tonight. I need something, Lord. And I need a word, a specific word. And then it dawned on me, wait a minute, buddy. You got a message in Restore, in Reservoir, waiting for Winnemac. And I thought, I guess I could preach that message there. And then the thought crossed my mind, no, you prayed that God would give you a specific word for Winnemac. So I shelved it. Amen. This message has never been test run on anybody else. I hope we don't get run over here tonight, and I hope we don't crash land. But God gave me a message specifically for South Haven, and he tore the house down. Not me. God tore the walls of the devil down and set us free yet again in another service. I don't know how God does it, but I'm so glad God does it. Amen. One thing I do know, and if I trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not unto my own understanding, he will direct my path. Winnemac, I'm getting there. I still haven't told you what the most important part of church is. I'm getting there. Hallelujah. What we need is another Daniel that'll withstand the lion's den. We need a 3 Hebrew children boys that'll withstand the fire. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something about Daniel and the Shadrach, Meshach, and the Abednego's. Amen. Before they faced their den of fire, they had to face the peer pressure and stand on their own in the laws that had just been changed that compromised their religious practices, made them unlawful and even a criminal offense. I don't care who else backslides. You make up in your mind, I ain't backsliding. I don't care who else turns their back on the gospel of Jesus Christ. You make up in your mind, I ain't turning my back on the gospel of Jesus Christ. I come from a long ways and I'm not turning back now. Somebody shout hallelujah. Well, I got any determined apostolics in the house tonight? We're not turncoating on God. Somebody shout yes. Maybe seated. Now it does get difficult, brother, sister Brent and Amanda Smith. Amen. Christian and Christiana. It gets hard. My boys have seen me bawl like a baby. They've seen my wife bawl and travail like a baby because the people that have hurt them. I've written my resignation twice. I've lost both letters. I'm so thankful to God for that. Amen. 20 years and now we're seeing revival. But I remember 10-year anniversary and I thought the thing was going to fall completely to pieces. But here we are. And those troublemakers have come and gone. But when God gave us 205 last Sunday, I wasn't even thinking about them till I saw some of their family members right amongst us, rejoicing with us, looking apostolic with us. And I thought, I wonder what they're thinking now. Come here. It wouldn't have been that way if I'd have walked away 10 years ago when I felt like it. Amen. Through the struggle of 11 years and 12 years and 13 years, and we weren't making any headway, and we hit a rock bottom place, and we wasn't having any revival or any increase. Amen. And my brother come and preached for me, and we were in the downstairs fellowship hall, and we were getting ready to walk up the back stairs, and I just shrugged and kind of threw up my hands, and I said, well, maybe God's, I feel like I should just maybe throw in the towel. And he spoke a word from the Lord. It's too early for that. That's all he said. It's too early for that. Amen. God will send you somebody to speak into your life when you need it most. Before you throw in the towel, you better find a prayer room first. You better walk a few streets and pray for a few answers from God first. God didn't bring me to South Haven for me to quit. God didn't bring you to Winnemac for you to quit. God didn't bring you to your neighborhood to quit. Come on, somebody. Greater is he that's in us than he that's out there in the world. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. We need some people that even when the laws change, amen, we're going to give God praise. We need some people that even when it's not popular anymore to preach that way, they're still going to give God praise. We need some people that aren't afraid to preach sin is sin. Amen. And in the gospel situation, white is white and black is black. I'm not talking about the color of your skin. Brother Hainer pastors a multicultural church. I'm not talking about the culture of your skin. I'm talking about what Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said. That's the content of your character. I hope we got enough character to keep us standing when we feel like giving in, that keep us running off for Jesus when we feel like tucking tail and run. Amen. We need some people that'll be Daniel, some people that'll be the three Hebrew children, even when it gets difficult, even when it's hard to take, even when people do fail sometimes. Even the world loves talking about the failures of the church, and it's sad but true that the church has given them plenty to talk about. But before you get too proud, world, before you get too haughty, world, before you take the bully pulpit, world, and talk about the failures of the church, let me remind you, your statistics are not so good either. Amen. You failed the American family. The world isn't a problem when we can send money everywhere else, but we still have poor, destitute, dying, hungry babies on the streets of the United States of America. This is not a political campaign, but they came pointing fingers at the church. I came to point fingers right back to them. How you doing with your marriage record, world? Let me tell you, the church is still doing a good job with the marriage record. Don't you hang your head. I'm one of them apostolics. You need to square your shoulders and say, I'm apostolic. I live for it every day of my life. Amen. And I'm going to keep on living for it. They should not be too haughty when their politics are an absolute mess. And the Bible prophesied that these days would come when they would be confused, when they didn't know where which way to turn. We're definitely living in the last days when nothing really seems to work. It's like they're just throwing things at the wall to see if something sticks and says, okay, let's go with that and let's make that the answer. I'm not throwing anything against the wall to see if it sticks. I still have only one answer, and that is Jesus. He still is the answer for the world. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. You're to worship him with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. So slump your shoulders a little bit, world, before you get too cocky with your educational systems failing. Corrupt teachers, oh yeah, more than ever before. Enron financial executives stealing the retirements of people. The gap between the rich and the poor only getting wider. The penal systems of the United States of America, maybe you don't realize this, but do you know there's more people in the United States of America that are incarcerated than in any other country in the entire world? We literally live in a penal state in our world, and it's not succeeding. Amen. But they send us their Melissas. They send us their Mafianas and Tuanas. They send us their Carmelos and Dariuses in 3D. That literally is his name, 3D. And then there's some other children. I still I forget the other one's name, Darius and the other one's name. Amen. They send them to us, and you know what we do? It's not our intellect, because they got more than we got. It's not our education, because they got more than we got. But we got something that they don't have, and they know it. It's called a faith-based initiative. It makes all the difference in the world when I can say, Jesus can change you. Jesus can pick you up. Jesus don't care what side of tracks you came on. Jesus don't care how many foster homes you were raised in. Jesus don't care how many times you were abused and beaten up by your man and raped and sold and used. Jesus don't care about what you've inhaled, shot up, amen, and snorted. Jesus don't care about that. Anybody glad Jesus is still in the saving business? Amen. He still is the answer for the world today. Above him there's no other. Jesus is the way. I want to tell you today, let the church be the church. The church has always had to battle hell, persecution, scandals, lies, rumors, losers, quitters, apathy. But the church has always had a remnant, a core, a revival, a rock, a God that said, I'll never leave you or forsake you, even to the end of the world. Amen. A song that I hear on the radio, on XM radio every now and then, Kirk Franklin Praise. Amen. And I'm not so sure I even know who is singing it. I think I do, but I'm not real sure. But she just sort of gives this answer, sums up this message a little bit. And she says, I need just a little more Jesus. Anybody heard it before? Amen. Come on, give me a bass drum just a little bit. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That's right. Come on, you clap on the other beat. Slow it down just a little bit faster. Right there. I need just a little more Jesus. You got it. I need just a little more Jesus. Oh, I need just a little more Jesus to help me along the way. Come on, somebody. I need just a little more Jesus. Oh, I need just a little more Jesus. Oh, I need just a little more Jesus to help me along the way. I got too mad and I said too much. Well, I went too far and I almost cussed. No, my mama didn't raise that way. Lord, I need a little help today. I went too sad and I'm crying too long. I can't keep my sin. Everything is wrong. Yes, my life seems way too hard, but ain't nothing too hard for God. Well, I need just a little more Jesus. Oh, I need just a little more Jesus. Well, I need just a little more Jesus. Oh, to help me along the way. Problems at work, problems at home. Won't everyone just leave me alone? I can't fix you, 'cause I'm trying to fix me. I'm trying to find help, so I'm down on my knees. I got an ache right here and a pain right there. Not enough power needed, just a little bit more prayer. Seems like something so hard. Yes, that's why I've lost my way. But I need just a little more Jesus. Oh, I need just a little more Jesus. Oh, I need just a little more Jesus to help me. Oh, sounds good. Say it one more time. Well, I need just a little more Jesus. Oh, I need just a little more Jesus. Hey, I need just a little more Jesus. Help me along the way. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Keep it going, keep it going, keep it going. I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back. Oh, this means war. Come on, guys. Sing it with me. Oh, this means war. Oh, yeah. Say it. This means war.
Help me out if you like.
Oh, yeah. Oh, this means war. Hallelujah. I got joy in my soul. God is in control. I got Satan on my trail, but I'm singing all is well. He's attacking every day, but I'm watching while I pray. No matter the attack, I won't turn back. Oh, this means war. Boom, 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 boom. This means war. Yeah, that sounds good. This means war. Hallelujah. Let me sing another verse. Been in the storm and rain, the blood still stays the same. Whatever's going wrong, I got my war clothes on. I might be in a daze, but you can't have my praise. No matter the attack, I won't turn back. Hey, this means war. Bum, 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 bum. Oh, this means war. Hey. This means war. Come on, I'm gonna need the choir right here. This means war. Oh, I plead the blood. Come on, devil can't handle that. I plead the blood. Hey, I plead the blood. Oh yeah, I plead the blood. Keep it up, keep it up. Satan can't handle that. The Bible says we're overcomers by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. When you're walking down County Road 384 off of 49th Street and you're talking in tongues because you don't know what to do, and all you can hear is the bay of the hounds in your ears saying, I'm going to destroy you. You had a good weekend last week, but it's over. That same spirit that rose up 10 years ago is going to rise up again. And I began to feel God. Only one thing that I could think of to say in a situation like that. Oh, I plead the blood. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I plead the blood. That's what Winnemac needs. I plead the blood. Oh, I plead. Oh, you can't have my family. Oh, no. And you can't have my increase. Oh, no. You can't have my breakthrough. Oh, no. You can't have my, I plead the blood. Somebody shout, I plead the blood. Oh, I plead the blood. Oh, I plead the
need the blood. Hey, hey, hey.
That's a closet prayer right there. That's when you're not near the Hammond B3 or the Korg or the drums or the bass, and you're walking the streets of your own dilemma. Hell is shaking. Every devil in hell is trembling. That's all the power that you need. That'll give you the victory that you need. Hey, somebody help me say, I plead the blood over my circumstances, over the problem I've been through.
This means war. This means war. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Hallelujah. 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 I'm almost done. Stay standing. Don't sit down. Devil can't stand what we're feeling right now. But I want to give to you right now what the church needs most. We talked about what the church don't need, and we've talked about what the church has. Let me tell you what the church needs most. The Bible says the kingdom of God suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. We know that it's the kingdom. We know that it suffers violence. People getting upset and mad about it, I'm going to take it back. But he never defined what it was. You got to define what it is in your own life. I know what it is for me. I put my claim on it. I put my stamp on it. But I understand I'm not going to get it because I got a new method and I got a new idea. Or I can preach a little bit harder or fast a little bit longer or pray a few more midnights away. I understand what the church needs most today, and that is our opening scripture, that without faith, it's impossible to please God. We got to start seeing 50 in our mind, 100 in our mind, 150 in our mind, 200 in our mind, 500 in our mind, healing in our mind, families coming in our mind. Come on! The church needs people with faith. No negative Nellies. No downer Dons. No rebellious Rondas. No proud Pauls. No silly Sallys. We're here for one reason, and that is to win a Mac, and to win a Smith, and to win a Hayner, and to win a Jones, and to win a Russell, and to win a Joe, and to win a Melissa, and to win a Tawana. Come on, somebody. I don't know what it is for you. Oh, but I plead the blood. I plead. Woo! He kalabasa talalabahaya. Come on, come on, come on. Come on. Altar's open. Give God praise. Anybody need a breakthrough? Anybody need the Holy Ghost? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I plead the blood. Oh, yeah. I plead the blood. Walk with me, walk. Plead the blood. We're going to pray. Oh, I plead the blood. Oh, I plead. Pray for him. Hallelujah. Come on. Oh, yeah. I plead the blood of protection. Oh, I plead the blood. Oh, la, 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 la.
on, get what you need from God. I plead the blood. Oh, I plead the blood. God, get rid of it.
Somebody, reach out to somebody right here. Go ahead, reach out to somebody. Don't let them leave here feeling bound. Nobody should leave here feeling sick. Hey, yeah. Oh, for revival, I plead.